Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist in today's gospel reading makes one of the most profound and radical statements in the entire Bible. The name Lamb of God is rooted in the Old Testament scriptures and Jewish history. Going all the way back to the first book of Genesis, we find Abel offering a lamb, the firstling of his flock, in a bloody sacrifice for the expiation of sin. Later on, God asked Abraham to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac, who carried the wood for the sacrifice on his back, a prophetic symbol of the Heavenly Father sacrificing his own son, who would be forced to carry his own cross. When Isaac asked, "Where is the lamb?" Abraham said, "God will provide himself with a young beast for a sacrifice, my son." Isaac's question, "Where is the lamb of sacrifice?" is now answered in today's gospel. When John the Baptist proclaims Jesus as the Son of God who takes away the sins of the world, he was asking the people of his time to think in a different way. For a first century Jew, it would have been unthinkable to imagine that Jesus could forgive sins. We remember when Jesus healed and forgave the sins of the man whose friends let him through the roof. The scribes complained and said, "Who but God alone can forgive sins?" The concept of forgiveness of sins outside of animal sacrifice was heretical for an early Jew. Before the time of Jesus, when Israelites violated the law of Moses, they were required to bring an animal to the temple, and the priests would offer that animal to God in sacrifice on their behalf. Each year, in the Day of Atonement, a bull and two goats were offered in sacrifice to God by the high priests in the temple. Every morning and every evening, all year round, a lamb was sacrificed in the temple to God in atonement for sins. As you can see, animal sacrifice was a large part of ancient Jewish tradition and faith. In the Jewish tradition, a lamb was sacrificed every year at the Feast of Passover. The Passover commemorates the liberation of the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt some 3,500 years ago. In Jesus' time, all Jews contributed money once a year for the temple Passover sacrifice. This money collection began a month before Passover. On the 15th day of the month before Passover, the temple money changers set up their tables in the surrounding areas outside of Jerusalem. But 10 days later, each time they would set their tables up in the temple itself. When Jesus overturned their tables, perhaps he was trying to help them to realize that he was the Lamb of God, and soon there would no longer be needing a Passover sacrificial feast. The first century Jewish historian Josephus recorded that in the year 70 AD, over a quarter of a million lambs were slaughtered in the temple during Passover week. That's over 42,000 a day. Despite this impressive number, the truth of the matter is that none of the Old Testament sacrifices could ever actually take away sin. This complex system of Mosaic sacrificial law was truly part of God's plan of salvation for the Jewish people. But if they were truly being obedient to God's will, but it was designed not as an end in itself, but rather to prepare the world for Jesus' final and most perfect sacrifice on Calvary. John the Baptist is telling us and everyone in today's gospel, the time is now. Jesus is the one. God is sending his own sacrificial lamb into the world to take away the sins of the world once and for all. Just as in the Old Testament, the new sacrificial lamb of God had to be unblemished, spotless, and sinless. Only then could this lamb have power to release us from the slavery of sin. Jesus is perfect, without blemish or sin, because he is God. We can now start to see the many connections between the old sacrifice and the new. First, just as the lamb was sacrificed in Jewish homes on the first Passover, so too Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed during Passover week almost 2,000 years ago. Second, the Israelites were given strict instructions on how to prepare the lamb, including draining the blood of the lamb and not breaking any of its bones. Likewise, none of Jesus' bones were broken, but rather the Roman guards pierced his side with a lance, and out flowed blood and water. Just as the blood of the lamb was placed on the doorposts to help deliver the Jews from slavery in Egypt, so too the blood of the Lamb of God saves us from spiritual death through sin. Lastly, God instructed that the lamb must be eaten to renew the covenant of Israel with God and to strengthen his chosen people for their journey in the desert. The same is true today. It is not enough that Christ bled and died for our sake. We must do our part. We must eat Jesus' body and blood in holy communion to renew our covenant with God. The Eucharist strengthens us with his grace so that we might have his life within us. The Gospel of John in chapter 6, verse 54 tells us, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life within you." When John the Baptist described Jesus as the Lamb of God, he was describing Jesus in terms that first century Jews could certainly understand. But at the same time, he was asking them to think of God's plan of salvation in a radically different way. Animal sacrifices no longer had to be offered in sacrifice for sins. Jesus Christ became the lamb offered in sacrifice for our sins on the cross. This one sacrifice of himself for all people and for all time fulfilled and perfected the entire Old Covenant sacrificial system. In each and every holy sacrifice of the Mass, we are spiritually present at Calvary and receive the graces of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. At every Mass, as the priest breaks the bread, we recite the Agnus Dei, which in Latin is Lamb of God. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Again, as the priest elevates the body and blood of Christ, we hear the words of John the Baptist pointing us to Christ. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. We are truly blessed to have an opportunity to participate in the most important event the world will ever know. A participation in the heavenly supper of the Lamb right here at Mass. We receive the body and blood, soul and divinity of the Lamb of God, the King of the universe, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And some people think that Mass is boring. Just as John the Baptist points us to Christ in today's gospel, let us pray that by the strength of the Holy Spirit given to us in the Eucharist today, we might point others to Christ. Let us pray that by our witness, by the example of our lives, we might be Christ's eyes and ears, hands and feet in this world, so that all might experience the mercy and the forgiveness that God wants to bring the world through his Son's passion, death, and resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.